A small percentage of people who get the COVID-19 vaccine will experience temporary swelling of their lymph nodes. And next up, we're going to talk about how that may affect your mammogram results. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Our guest is Dr. Roberta Striegel. She is Chief of Breast Imaging and Intervention for the Department of Radiology at University of Wisconsin Health, or UW Health. So great to have her here. What would you like to know about how the COVID vaccine can affect your mammogram? Have you experienced swelling of lymph nodes after the vaccine? Love to have you part of the conversation, and I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Roberta Striegel, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
It's my privilege. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, tell us about why some people experience swelling of their lymph nodes when they get the COVID-19 vaccine.
So we know that this is an effect of some vaccines, and it's happening with the COVID vaccine. So up to about 16% of patients who have received the COVID vaccine will describe that they might have some tenderness in their armpit area, and that can be due to swelling of the lymph nodes. And that's the body's normal response to the vaccine. It's expected. It doesn't happen in everyone, but if it does happen, it's an expected response to the vaccine. It's the immune response.
So if it doesn't happen, is there reason to be concerned?
Great question. No, not at all. When these types of things happen with vaccines, they don't happen in everyone, and it's not a sign of whether or not the vaccine is working.
Does it happen pretty often with, let's say, any vaccine or all the vaccines that we might get?
It's a great question. We do see it in some other vaccines, actually. Maybe not quite as frequently as we're seeing it with the COVID vaccine, but we have seen this before. So it's something that we've seen before when we get breast imaging studies or other types of studies. So it's not unexpected.
What does it feel like? Is it just that little pain in the arm or underarm, or what is it really? I've had it. I've had the vaccine, and I did not have much of a reaction to it.
Yeah, which is great and completely normal. In people that have swelling of their lymph nodes and they receive the vaccine in one arm or the other arm, they may notice that in the armpit area on the side they receive the vaccine, that there may be some tenderness. Some people might even feel a lump in that area. And some people might have some swelling of their lymph nodes and not even know it. They don't notice any difference and it just goes away.
So, you know, Richard, who's in Cape Hatteras, North Carolina, has a question about this. So let's go there. Richard, thanks for calling.
Yeah, actually, I'm in Cape Hatteras, but I'm only here because I'm going bluefin tuna fishing in the morning. But I'm from Two Rivers, you know me. And my girlfriend is scheduled for a mammogram, and and next week. And she works in the health field, and they scheduled her this week for a shot. Should she wait till afterwards?
Okay, so she's got a shot coming, you're saying, Richard, this week, but the mammogram is scheduled for the next week. Should she wait on the mammogram?
Yeah, it's a great question. So when people do have swelling of their lymph nodes after their vaccine, we can sometimes see that on the mammogram. When we do a mammogram on one of the views, we can see lymph nodes in the armpit region. So if they do swell up, and again, they don't in everyone, but if they do, we might see those on the mammogram. We expect that to go away in about 4 to 6 weeks. So one option is to wait those 4 to 6 weeks and then get the mammogram at that time. Because if she does have some swelling of the lymph nodes. We expect it to resolve by then. At the same time, we don't want to delay screening mammography either. So if she's overdue for a screening mammogram or was delayed last year because of COVID and the pandemic, we would still encourage her to be seen.
So, and I would expect that you would be telling the medical people that, yeah, I just got the shot last week. So keep that in mind with the mammogram.
Yeah, really good point. So here at UW Health, we're having patients come in. We don't want to delay, especially if they're due or overdue or were delayed last year for their mammogram. But we're asking all patients when they arrive, have they had the COVID vaccine? What arm, if they received it in the arm, and what was the date? Because then when I'm looking at a mammogram, if I see lymph nodes that are swollen, then I know that is likely the cause in many people. So that's really helpful to us, and we routinely ask about it. And if you're not asked, I would volunteer that information.
Yeah, and I'm also thinking, sometimes people get their vaccine in the left arm, and then the next time they get it in the right arm, in this situation where we have two shots,
right?
Does that make a difference?
Well, that's okay. It just might be that we might see the lymph nodes swelling on both sides, and I would just let the technologist or whoever is getting that information know the dates of the two shots and what side you received them on. It's really helpful information to us.
Okay. You can join in too, 800-642-1234, or email us to ideas@wpr.org. Well, what about patients who have been diagnosed with breast cancer? How does it affect them?
Yeah, great question. So if patients have a history of breast cancer, so say they've been treated in the past and breast cancer was on the right side, we are asking our patients if they could get the vaccine on the opposite arm. Because if the lymph nodes swell, we'd like that to be on the opposite side of where the cancer was before. When we read a mammogram on the side of cancer, and really on both sides, we're always looking for changes. Is there a change in the breast, and is there a change in the lymph nodes? So it's helpful to us to have the vaccination on the opposite arm if that's possible.
Cancer screenings have been, as I understand it, they've been down during the pandemic. What does that say to you?
Yeah, that's actually one of the things that we're most concerned about. Cancer screenings are down dramatically, and we know that cancer diagnoses are too. So if we look at breast cancer, for example, we know that not as many people were diagnosed with breast cancer in the last year, but we know those cancers are out there. It's because not everyone got the screening mammogram that they had planned because of the pandemic. So we were really trying to get patients in for their screening. If people have a screening mammogram that was delayed in the last year, we really want you to come in for screening. We also really want you to get your vaccination. So both those things are very important.
Why aren't they scared? Is it just inertia, or what is it? What is the reason, or what are the reasons why women aren't scheduling?
I think it's multiple things. They may have been scheduled last year and then it got canceled. but sometimes there's also discomfort or even fear about coming into a medical facility right now while we're still in the midst of the COVID pandemic. And we have worked so hard in the medical field to take care of our patients and make it safe for them to come in for all exams, including preventive health care and screening exams. So we have lots of safety mechanisms in place, social distancing, barrier mask wearing, screening for symptoms, and that's what keeps our patients safe when they're in the hospital, in the clinics, in the imaging areas. So it is safe to come in, and we really want to encourage people to do so at this time.
What are the precautions in the imaging area itself?
Yeah, great question. So in breast imaging, for example, after getting screened at the front door of the clinic and receiving a barrier mask from the hospital, then when they come down to imaging, we maintain social distancing in all of our waiting spaces. We're actually not using all of our normal waiting spaces so that we can separate patients and even keep them in the imaging rooms if we can. All of the providers wear masks and face shields when they're caring for patients. And then we have spaced out our imaging exam appointments in breast imaging for screening, for example. So there's more time to turn over the room, do very extensive cleaning. So multiple steps in place to keep people safe.
Talking today with Dr. Roberta Striegel. She is Chief of Breast Imaging and Intervention. She's also an assistant professor for the Department of Radiology at UW Health, and it's great to have her with us today as we talk with her about mammograms and the COVID vaccine. Certainly inviting you to join in as well with your questions and comments. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. We have Kim coming up with a question for you, but there's a line open for you at that number, so I hope you'll join in. We need to take a quick look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with our guest, Dr. Roberta Striegel. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We're talking about mammograms and the COVID-19 with our guest today, Dr. Roberta Striegel, Chief of Breast Imaging and Intervention for the Department of Radiology and UW Health. As we talk with her, what questions do you have about mammography? What questions do you have about breast health in general, perhaps? Love to hear from you. Give a call at 800-642-1234, or you could email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Dr. Striegel, we have Kim from Whitewater online with a comment. Let's go there. Kim, thank you for calling.
Thank you, Larry. Hi, Dr. Striegel. I just wanted to share with the other rest of your viewers that this actually happened to me last week. I went in for my annual mammogram on Monday. I had my first 3D mammogram. I was called back the next day, and having been a new cancer survivor, I was extremely distraught until they could get me in 2 days later for a diagnostic mammogram and followed up with an ultrasound, which then showed that it was, swollen lymph nodes. Did inquire when I had my COVID vaccine, which I did the week prior. The only thing I would like to add is I did have my vaccine on my right arm, and the swollen lymph nodes were on my left breast.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Kim, thank you. Comment, Dr. Striegel?
Yeah, so it sounds like you did all the right things having your vaccine on the opposite side. I'm not sure what recommendations they made that day, whether they felt like it was related to the vaccine based on what the lymph nodes looked like or if they wanted to follow them up. But this is the scenario that we're sometimes seeing. So, you know, when I look at a mammogram for screening there, and I know the vaccine was on the same side as the swollen lymph nodes, if they're there, I may not do any extra imaging to say that I know this is a side effect. But in your situation, you know, in this type of situation where there's a history of cancer and the vaccine was on the other side, coming back to do some additional imaging and see how things look and go from there makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. Thank you very much for calling, Kim. Kim mentioned she had a 3D mammogram and then a diagnostic mammogram. What are the and one other thing as well? But what's the difference? We've got what's a 3D mammogram versus a diagnostic mammogram?
Yeah, great question. So the mammograms we put into two big bins, screening mammograms, which are for patients who don't have any signs or symptoms of breast cancer, so no lumps or nipple discharge, that type of thing. But diagnostic mammograms are for patients who maybe have a lump, a symptom of breast cancer, or sometimes this kind of situation where they have a screening mammogram is done first and there's possibly an abnormality. And then we ask patients to come back and get a diagnostic mammogram. And that mammogram has additional images that help us really look, kind of zero in on the area of concern and decide whether or not there's something there that we need to do something about. And sometimes we'll add ultrasound as well.
And so,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, you go ahead. I was just going to say, why don't we just do a diagnostic to begin with and be done with it?
That's a good question. It involves extra images and
expense, I'm sure.
Yeah, an expense. And also, we know that screening is great for exactly what it does, is when patients don't have any symptoms. Coming in for a screening mammogram, you know, we're trying to detect breast cancer as soon as we can, as early as we can, when we know the outcomes are the best from treatment. And that's why we want patients to come back in for their screening mammograms right now. Get your vaccine, but also come in for your mammogram, especially if you've been delayed. We don't want it to be put off while we've taken into account this information about vaccines.
Yeah.
So the question was raised about the 3D mammogram as well. It's a great question. So we sometimes call it 3D mammograms, even though it's not truly 3D. The other name is digital breast tomosynthesis, or DBT. And what it is multiple low-dose images of the breast from different angles. And at the end of the day, how that really helps the radiologist is it helps us kind of look through the tissue without so much tissue overlap. And that tissue overlap on a mammogram can sometimes hide a cancer that's there. So digital breast tomosynthesis helps us find cancers that we otherwise wouldn't be able to see. But sometimes that overlapping tissue also looks like an abnormality to us, but it's really not abnormal. And we have to bring a patient back for a diagnostic mammogram to prove that. But digital breast tomosynthesis helps us realize that it's just overlapping tissue and not an abnormality. So sometimes it saves patients that extra trip and imaging test. So it's really been beneficial.
Okay. And thank you again, Kim, for calling. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Cheryl in Berlin, we'll go to you next. Hi, Cheryl.
Hey. Yes, I have a question. I just had my annual wellness visit a week ago, and I had early stage breast cancer 21 years ago. Everything has been fine. And my doctor said to me, women in my age group, 75 to 80, she said, it's been so long, you have zero chance of ever getting breast cancer, and you really don't need any more mammograms. And I wanted to know what you thought of that.
Yeah, well, congratulations on things going so well in those last 21 years. That's really great news. As far as screening in that age range, you know, after that time period and after such a long time, we still encourage screening for those patients who want breast cancer screening with mammography to detect a new cancer if one were to arise. We certainly hope that one doesn't, But in patients that are healthy and are interested in ongoing screening, which some people are, then we would go ahead and do so.
Okay.
But there I would talk more with your doctor about it. They might be able to, if you're interested, give you more information.
Yeah. Thank you, Cheryl, for calling. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us at ideas@WPR.org. If you call, we'll get you on pretty quickly. Let's go to Mary in Racine next. Hi, Mary.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I was out of my car for a minute before I was able to call you, so I don't know if you've already had this topic, but I had an appointment for my mammogram. It was supposed to be next week, and I got my second vaccine shot 2 weeks ago today. And the same day that I got my mail, I had a letter from Ascension saying that if I had gotten my vaccine, I should call and, because if I had an appointment for a mammogram, I should call and change it. But they didn't tell me why. So then that same evening, when I went to turn off my cell phone, there was an article on my phone about mammograms. And if you've had your vaccine, it can change the lymph nodes and enlarge them. And evidently, you know, make it look like maybe you have, you know, a tumor in your breast. So I called and made my appointment for, you know, like more than a month from now and to make sure that, you know, that would be okay. But they didn't say anything as to why I should change it. So I was glad that I got the information on my cell phone. And I've told some of my friends about it now, too. You know, they should be telling us this now, before we even get the vaccines. If you know, if you have a mammogram scheduled, you might want to think about changing it because of that. It's one of the side effects.
Hmm. So how do you respond to that, Dr. Striegel?
Yeah, this is exactly what we're seeing. It's a really good point. We definitely don't want people to delay their vaccines. So it's great that you got vaccinated. Definitely, when you have the opportunity to get vaccinated, please do so. One option is to reschedule and wait, you know, 4 to 6 weeks after the vaccine, like you were recommended to do, because if the lymph nodes swell, then usually they'll have gone away by that point. But we are also at UW Health recommending or just allowing patients to come in, not necessarily reschedule, but getting that information at the time when they arrive and finding out, okay, last week they had a vaccination in the right arm, so that when I interpret the mammogram, I know that that happened and that I can take that into account when I look at the imaging.
Mm-hmm. Mary, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Laura in Chippewa Falls, it's your turn. Hi, Laura.
Hi. So I'm so glad that you had this show today, because actually today I just found out I needed to have a mammogram, and it's my first one. And so I'm just curious, what does the process to have a mammogram look like? Like, what should I be expecting? What should I do? Best practices, that kind of thing.
All right. Perfect timing there, Dr.
Yeah.
Striegel.
Great. Thanks so much for asking. It's good to have it done and know what it's like, I think. And when you come into a breast center, you will be asked to change into a gown, and then you'll be in a mammogram room. The technologist will ask you some questions about your past medical history, which are really helpful to us as radiologists to interpret your mammogram. Things like, have you ever had a breast procedure or a surgery or a biopsy? What's your family history of breast cancer? Those types of things are really important to me when I'm looking at images. We do ask that you don't wear any deodorant beforehand. And for those of you who have had mammograms, the reason that we ask that, we know that's a common request. We ask that because the deodorant itself or things that you put on your skin can have some material in it that when we do the mammogram looks like little white specks on the image. And that's also how some abnormalities called calcifications can look on a mammogram. So we like people not to have deodorant on. And if they arrive with it on, we just ask them to wipe it off. But then we have really kind, wonderful technologists who go into breast imaging, I think, so really dedicated to this. And they'll help with positioning the breast in the mammography machine. And then there's compression applied. And that compression is actually, you know, some people it doesn't bother, but some people it's uncomfortable, but it's short just while we're taking the image. And then it releases. And depending on the type of exam, like we were talking about, screening or diagnostic, a screening exam is typically two images of each breast, but sometimes we need to do extra images to make sure we include all of the tissue, because our goal is always to get the highest quality mammogram that we can. If you have any questions, definitely talk to your technologist. They're really experienced, and they want to make the first mammogram as easy as possible for you, so don't hesitate to do so.
Yeah. Good luck, Laura. Thank you so much. That was a great question, too. Kim in River Falls, we'll go to you now. Hi, Kim.
Greetings. I had my first dose of the vaccine 4 weeks ago tomorrow. And since that time, I've had some tenderness around one nipple and a thickening of the tissue behind it and a shrinking of that breast. And I'm wondering if this had anything to do with the vaccine or not. I know that I had something similar years ago, but it was not, the breast did not shrink, and it was a mammogram at that time, and nothing was shown. I wasn't sure where I go from here.
Yeah, that's a great question. To me, it doesn't sound like that's related to the vaccine. And congratulations on getting the vaccine, by the way. But it doesn't sound like it's related to the vaccine. And what I would do or recommend doing is to call your provider and get their opinion. They might want to see you and examine the breast or send you for some additional breast imaging. You mentioned you had had a mammogram in the past. We can do mammograms on males, and they can be really helpful to us at times. So that's what I would consider doing.
Yeah. Good luck, Kim. Thank you. And on to Barbara in Fort Atkinson. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, thank you. I had the same experience that those other ladies had. I had gone for a screening mammogram, and my doctor had noticed a lump. And so then I had to come back for an ultrasound. And after they did the ultrasound, they said that I had an oil cyst in one breast. And I was just wondering, could that be mistaken for a lymph node? If it isn't mistaken for a lymph node, they said there's nothing you can do for those. Is that correct?
Yeah, and did they tell you that it was nothing to worry about?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I agree. Oil cysts can be there. They're usually nothing to worry about. Usually if we do an ultrasound, we can tell the difference between an oil cyst and a lymph node. And lymph nodes are common in the breast as well. We're talking about lymph nodes in the armpit region swelling after COVID, but many people normally have lymph nodes in their breast. So sometimes we see that on imaging as well, but that all makes sense to me. It doesn't sound, if you were told it wasn't anything to worry about, that makes sense, and we usually just leave them alone. The oil cyst.
All right. All right. Barbara, thank you very much. Eileen emailed that she keeps hearing about the benefits of rapid MRI for dense breast tissue and would like to take advantage of it. She also thinks this might be less painful than a regular mammogram, yet when she calls to make an appointment for a mammogram, this type of imaging is not offered to her in the UW system. And she's wondering, how can she get a fast MRI scan?
Yeah, that's a great question. So fast MRI scans, breast MRI, or abbreviated, sometimes we call it, so it's a short MRI scan, has been studied in people who have dense breasts. So it's a great question. Breast density is, we all have different levels of breast density, and about 50% of patients or so have dense, so they're in the more dense side of the spectrum, which is normal. But one of the questions that has come up, are there additional studies we can do that can be helpful? And one of them that's been looked at is this shortened or abbreviated breast MRI study. It's great that you asked this question today, because I'm at the UW and we are about to open that program to the public. We've been working to set it up here. So if it's something that you're interested in, I anticipate it'll be available probably in the next month or so.
Oh, so you're only a month away from that,
yeah,
Eileen.
Yeah, we're really close.
Okay, well, let's talk. It reminds me about advances in mammography, or mammography, I guess, over the last few years. Maybe you could talk about some of those advances.
Yeah, so we're always working. You know, mammography has been a wonderful test, and it's performed so well. We have studies showing that it really improves the outcomes for patients, and that's why we want people to come back in for their screening. But we're always working to do better, and the main advancement in mammography most recently has been digital breast tomosynthesis that we talked about, which has helped us both reduce the number of patients that need to come back in for imaging that don't have cancer, and also helped us find cancers that we couldn't detect before. So that's been a real win-win. And then there are things like the abbreviated MRI exam. We were already doing breast MRI in patients who were at higher risk for breast cancer than average. But now we are looking at doing it in patients, for example, who have increased breast density but maybe otherwise aren't at higher risk, to look at their breast tissue and find additional cancers. So we're excited about that program. And one thing I should mention is that it unfortunately doesn't overtake the mammogram. We still recommend getting mammograms and MRI in that setting. They both have value and both add something to the patient's care.
And what are the guidelines? I think it's worth it to mention the guidelines for women, for when a woman should have a mammograph. Those have changed over the years. What are the latest recommendations on that?
Yeah, so there's multiple guidelines out there, and I know that can sometimes be confusing for women. I really encourage everyone to talk to their doctor about their preferences for screening, but also their risk factors. Many women will start getting mammography around the age of 40. In some patients, depending on that conversation with their provider, in some patients, they may need to start imaging even sooner if they're at higher risk for breast cancer based on their family history or some other factors. So certainly if you're overdue at this point for a mammogram that you had planned to get in the last year, please come in. But otherwise, discuss this with your doctor. It's really important.
Well, it's been, Berta, it's been a real pleasure talking with you today. I really appreciate it, and I hope we have a chance to do this again. Thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, and thanks to everyone who called in.
Yeah, good questions from all. Dr. Roberta Striegel is Chief of Breast Imaging and Intervention and an Assistant Professor for the Department of Radiology at UW Health. Great to have her with us. And I'm sure we'll talk with her again on the program. Just a reminder that our book club show is coming up on March 25th. And if you haven't read the book yet, I hope you'll pick up a copy. It's titled The Geography of Bliss. And the author is Eric Weiner. And it is a fun read. He's a great writer, and we're looking forward to talking with him and taking your questions about the book on March 25th. That's going to be a lot of fun. Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk with Darren Bush about this year's virtual Canoocopia, and of course, we'll take your questions about paddling as well. So we look forward to that as well. And you know what? I hope you'll stay with us right through the afternoon. There are lots of good programs coming up. And I know you're going to enjoy them. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.